B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We continue to hear and read about rumors about our players' actions in Atlanta, and we need to stop that. Right? Our team and our players deserve better than that. As I mentioned, these guys are sick. Our guys were not running all around town after our game in Atlanta. So I need to ask that stop. They don't deserve that.
All right, that's CEO of the – he's the CEO, right, of the Florida Marlins – Miami Marlins, Derek Jeter, defending his players against reports and rumors that the COVID outbreak on their team was a result of the players running around to clubs or whatever the case may be in Atlanta or South Beach. And in that clip, he even says they deserve our sympathy, Maz, that they deserve our empathy, that they're sick and that all that other stuff needs to stop. I'll just get my first thought is like, you know, Derek, like, requesting it to stop, it doesn't work that way. Like, you don't control the media. You can't request of the media what they report. So you can say they're wrong, but asking the media or saying that it needs to stop, like who do you think you are there?
Oh, totally. Look, and again, especially for, you know, look, he was never a big media guy in the first place. And I like Jeter, but I think he's talking out his ass. It's so I don't know if he's doing it for the benefit of his players. He's trying to stick up for him or what. But you want to tell me the whole team wasn't running around? Fine. Our guys, plural, weren't running around after Atlanta? Fine. Were there a couple? Was it one? Was it three? Like, what you're telling me that nobody went out? How did, like, I come back to the same thing, and I'm no scientist. How did the virus come in? How did the virus come in? How is it that, you know, and then once it gets in, if one guy is careless, it could take down the whole team, especially if they're going to get on a plane and then, you know, fly to Philadelphia. So to me, I don't know why he said it the way he said it, but do I believe him? No, I don't.
Me neither. He's circling the wagons. This is the result of their own internal investigation. So, like, what? You think they're going to out themselves? You think the Marlins are going to do their own internal investigation, even if they found out the guys were going out to strip clubs or whatever the case may be, that they'd release that information? Of course not. Of course not. But then to turn around and scold everybody else, like, that to me is just, you know, would you please already? I don't expect you to reveal all the dirt that you found out about your players, but then to turn around, you know, deny, accuse, you know, is exactly what Jeter's doing here. So you ask, Maz, how did the virus get into their bubble? How did the virus infiltrate them? Number two, Stu, what did Jeter say about this?
In our review, it was determined we had guys leave to get coffee, to get clothes. The guy left to have dinner at a teammate's house. There were no other guests on site. There was no salacious activity. There's no hanging out at bars. No clubs, no running around Atlanta, no running around the town. What it boiled down to on this particular trip was guys were around each other, they got relaxed, and they let their guard down. They were getting together in groups. They weren't wearing masks as much as they should have. They weren't social distancing. Everyone was getting tested. We went the whole spring training 2.0 without a positive, and the entire traveling party got a little too comfortable. Should they have been doing that? No, and that's been addressed.
Oh, okay.
That's all it was. Yeah, they went shopping and went to Starbucks. Okay, Jeets. Yeah, I believe you.
So thank you. But then how did the first guy get it?
Oh, yeah. He went to the Dunks, right? Which you can't get, by the way, as we've, you know, let you know every single day, and we'll let you know again. You do the drive-thru with the app, and, you know, you can't get
exactly,
anything.
Exactly, right.
Yeah. At Dunkin'. But anyway, guys went to get coffee. They went to get clothes. Is that so? Is that the dry cleaning, or again, right? Were they hitting Nordstrom rack? They went to a friend's house. I think John Heyman tweeted today that a guy went to get milk. So they expect us to believe this, that the guys, instead of getting boobs in the face, went out to get coffee, dry cleaning, and milk.
Well, what he left out is they were getting milk straight from the source.
Oh, would you stop with that? That's not right. That's not right. But, like, oh, give me a break with this, you know, Maz. Talking about protesting a little bit too much there.
Well, and I'll tell you the other thing, too, is let's say one of the guys got it in a grocery store and he wasn't wearing a mask. Or, you know, he wasn't following protocols in there. And I'm not telling you the protocols are 100% foolproof, because we all know they're not. But I still think when you have at stake what they have at stake, which is you're trying to get a season on here. You're talking about a multi-billion dollar industry. They're trying to make this thing work. The slightest mistake, the slightest mishap or step up, misstep can undermine the whole thing. So you've got to be diligent about it. So one way or another, I look, and again, I don't believe that that's what happened, that it happened in a supermarket. I believe that somebody somewhere broke protocol and decided, screw this, I'm going out with the Marlins, we suck anyway, who cares? And he infected the whole team. Or they, a group of them infected the whole team, whatever.
So the reporting on it, you know, didn't come from, you know, internet slappies. Why'd this guy enter my head? It didn't come from incarcerated Bob or, you know, whatever, some shady internet sources. It was Bob Nightingale, who has probably one of the highest BBWAA numbers in the entire union, Maz, I would have to say.
He's up there.
One of the most established baseball writers in the country of USA Today. He reported it all started in Atlanta. During an appearance on a radio show in Pittsburgh last week, Nightingale reported that at least one Marlins player, possibly more, left the team hotel and went out while in Atlanta days before the season began. He said, quote, I think it's a wake-up call for all the other teams saying you'd better not go out at night because if you bring it in, you've got a chance to knock off the season by yourself. I think a couple of guys went out in Atlanta, said Nightingale. That's what happened. I don't think it was any kind of fluke from the bus driver or pilot or anything like that. I believe some guys got careless. At least one guy did for sure. He went out and came back positive and spread it around. So that's from Bob Nightingale. So, I'm not saying that he's perfect or doesn't get bad information himself, but that's hardly some sort of poop stirrer there, Bob Nightingale. And I'm sorry. I just don't think Derek Jeter's explanation there passes muster whatsoever.
No, look, and Jeter's always had this self-righteous thing when it comes to the media, too.
Oh, my God, so, it's like so self-righteous.
Oh, God, please. He just wants to dump it on the reporters when the reality is that someone somewhere screwed up inside his organization. So maybe he's pissed off that he's getting blamed for it. Maybe he's circling the wagons or protecting the players. I have no idea. What I know is that based on everything we've been told about the virus, and I know we don't know a lot, I think it came from someone being indoors without a mask in a crowded setting. That's what I think. And so you tell me, how did it first start? So once one guy gets on the plane, we all know what can happen from there. Okay, or on a bus or whatever else. Fine. But how did the first guy get it? I come back, what's the genesis? Where's the point where it all started? Where is that defined beginning? Because, Mike, let's look at the two team outbreaks we know about. The rumors were guys went out and guys were in a casino.
That's St. Louis. That's the St. Louis report. But I just don't think guys got it going out to get coffee or their dry cleaning or because they went to Brooks Brothers in Atlanta. And I would even say there, why are you going to freaking Brooks Brothers or wherever you went to get clothes, your dry cleaning? What? Like, just be smart. I think it was guys not being smart, and it all circles back to me, Maz, these players blaming, like, the league and the owners and the commissioner for, you know, jeopardizing their safety, when I think in most cases it's the players bringing it on themselves. And, you know, this has been pointed out, and I think it's a good point. You know, the Phillies, so the Marlins showed up all infected to Philadelphia, right? And it turns out some Phillies personnel also caught it. So, like, it was clubhouse personnel, behind-the-scenes personnel. But in terms of players catching it, no one caught it, right? No one – have any of the Phillies players tested positive since the Marlins visit?
Not that I'm aware of.
Coaches, no. Clubhouse attendant.
Yeah. Coaches, clubhouse – so what it shows you is that, for the most part, the field stuff, the game stuff is safe.
Yes.
That the league has made it safe. And the protocols in place to protect team against team is there. It's, do you bring it into your own bubble by your own actions? And I think that's what this episode and the St. Louis episode also shows. And also I think Jeter sounds like a fraud the way he's talking here.
Oh, totally. And again, this is what struck me about it yesterday when we were talking about the St. Louis thing. It all infected inside the team. The same thing happened with the Marlins. So the stuff on the field, there's not enough exposure there in order for someone to get the virus. You got to be in, again, I come back to what all the medical experts tell you. Indoors for some sort of extended period of time where the virus can't escape and you're not wearing a mask or anything else. Those increase the chances and the odds that you are going to end up sick. And I think that that's exactly what happened. Now, what happened when they got on the plane? You know, maybe Jeter's focus on the part of, when we got on the plane, guys weren't wearing masks, they weren't careful, and so guys got infected. Stupid. Stupid. But again, how did it start? Who's the first guy that got it, and where did he get it? Because, Mike, this whole, you know, the whole bubble thing is built on this idea that, and baseball's not in a bubble per se, but they're trying to operate virtually in one, meaning that if you all just stay in contact with one another and you don't get into any situation where there is a threat of catching the virus, you then can't pass it on to someone else and we should be safe. That's what the whole thing is built on. So how did the first guy get it?
Okay. In my opinion, it won at the coffee shop. But you tell me, you believe Jeter? And the whole, you know, who do you blame for the debacle that is this Major League season? Because it is a debacle. We spent a lot of time on it yesterday. We can circle back to it now. Who's to blame for this abject failure that is the MLB season? 617-779-0985. They're making excuses. We have some Red Sox excuse making coming up as well. All of that with your calls after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mass.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mass.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week. Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
One of the first and most important things that we all can do is to have a little empathy for our players. You know, they've been stricken with a virus that has no cure other than to run its course. And, you know, our players and coaches went into this knowing that their health was on the line. And unfortunately, they've had to endure quite a trying time over the last week plus. We have seen firsthand just how contagious this virus is.
Oh, my God. He's just laying it on a little thick there. A little thick. And I don't think you guys got it going to the coffee shop, Derek. I'm sorry, I don't. 617-779-0985. Tom and Newton, your thoughts, Tommy.
Yeah, hey, guys. This thing is a circus. It's a disaster. Like, it's a joke. I mean, I know everybody wants to get on the players, myself included, for just, you know, being insufferable between, you know, I got to get mine and now going to the strip club, going to the casino, whatever the case may be. But I think ultimately it's incumbent on the owners to make sure that this thing works right. I mean, even before Corona, between, you know, speeding up the game and everything, it just screams gross incompetence. Like, the owners, I feel like they got to take some blame here.
Well, sure. I think they take some blame, but I think it's ultimately on the players. I know we debated this yesterday. They're all to blame. I mean, the game's broken. The game is broken. The sport's broken, Maz. And it reflects in how they've handled this. You know, it's broken on so many levels. It's broken on the field. It's broken off the field. It's broken in terms of a product. It's just broken. It's a broken sport. And so should it surprise us at all that they haven't been able to get their act together collectively when it comes to this, when other leagues have? It makes perfect sense, actually.
Oh, totally. Again, I go back to the very beginning of it. Just look at how the whole process went down. I mean, you talk about the public will get its confidence from, you know, from your ability to demonstrate that you can make it work. That's where they will get it. And so all these polls that were out there early on, which league do you have the most faith in? The NBA and the NHL were at the top. They're in bubbles. They showed the most organization, you know, the most cohesion, all of that stuff. Baseball was dead last. And in theory, baseball should have been first, if for no other reason than it's the only non-contact sport. Think of it. It's really pretty basic.
I mean, the other leagues, I don't want to say it's been flawless, but they pretty much came up with a plan. They came up with a format. And they're both delivering, the NHL and the NBA. And I think particularly the NBA. I think the NBA has been a terrific product. When I look at these games, do you know how many close games there have been so far in the bubble? Maz, does it feel like every game is close?
Yes. Yeah, it does. Yep.
You know, like, they're competitive. The stars are out there for the most part. The atmosphere, they've done their best job they possibly could without fans in the stands. It feels like real NBA basketball. I feel like the lack of home road or the travel has sort of leveled the playing field to the point where I feel like every game goes to the fourth quarter. Every game that I turn on goes to the fourth quarter. They pulled it off. And hockey's done it too. And baseball? Baseball can't get through the first weekend. And is that any surprise when you consider how broken and dysfunctional the sport is on the field and off? Is it any surprise that they're the ones that can't get their act together when it comes to this? It makes perfect sense.
Of course. Sense. Yes, it takes divine intervention. It takes an act of God for them to agree on anything, for crying out loud. They can't do the most basic things. It's really, this is why the sport is stuck in the mud for as long as it is.
And poor Derek. Now he's scolding us. Give me Jeter 3 again. The one that you let off the 4 o'clock hour with, Stu, again. Like, you know, we need to stop. We need to stop blaming the players. Go ahead, Stu.
We continue to hear and read about rumors about our players' actions in Atlanta, and we need to stop that. Right? Our team and our players deserve better than that. As I mentioned, these guys are sick. Our guys were not running all around town after our game in Atlanta. So I need to ask that stop. They don't deserve that.
Oh, okay. That's Florio-esque is what that is.
Oh,
and yeah, like this shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. And Jeter, I thought he was a really good player, obviously, but the guy spent 20 years never having an answer to anybody or be challenged by the media, and he's still given a lot of leeway in Miami. That's evident. You know, this is just him like, oh, how dare anyone say anything for anything I'm associated with.
He's sanctimonious, for crying out loud. He wants to thumb his nose everywhere and wag his finger. You can't do this. And it's like, but just stop. Just stop. Okay, you don't have the same clout anymore, so stop.
Here's Joe in the car on the MLB Outbreak. What do you got, Joe? Joseph, you're on the air.
Hey, guys, I just feel like they don't want to be there. I got a 74-year-old mom, a 75-year-old dad, both positive for the thing. They're fine. They made it through it, not a problem, no issue, no side effects. I got a 99-year-old grandmother, same thing. She made through this thing without a problem. These guys are supposed to be the best athletes in the world. They can't handle this thing. They make it sound like it's some big insurmountable task.
Well, okay, but now you're talking about something else, Joe. I mean, it's like they don't want to get it, okay? So, and by the way, just because your parents got it doesn't mean we should want to get it. So, like, I'm totally for someone not wanting to get it, even though it's not deadly. And you can even tell me that the effects are overblown if you want. I'm still not that keen on getting it. And the point is, the leagues have said they don't want their players to get it. They don't want it spreading because you don't want to spread it to someone elderly who can't withstand it like your parents can't. So, but however you fall on that, the point is the leagues came out and said, we're going to do our best to protect our players so the virus does not enter our bubbles. And if it does enter our bubbles and enter our work environment, we have these things in place to deal with it. And every other league has figured it out. To the extent where they have a functional working model and they're back on the fields playing. All of them except Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball is the one sport that has lost significant games, significant scheduling, and now has to reconnoiter the whole thing, coming up with different rules and different formats on the fly. They're the only league that's had to do it because they couldn't figure it out. That's the story.
Well, and Mike, we don't know about football yet, right?
We
don't know about football yet. So the other two are in a bubble. But I think at the end of the day, whether you're in the bubble or not, it comes down to personal responsibility and discipline. And so, again, because effectively what they're trying to do is keep guys in a bubble anyway in baseball. When I say that, I mean, fine, you're going to go from your home to the ballpark. But if nobody in your house is sick, nobody at the ballpark is sick, and you're driving your car to and from, and you're not doing anything reckless or foolish and putting yourself into larger environments, crowded places, and particularly if you're indoors, you should be okay. You should be okay. Yet we've had outbreaks inside of two teams that has affected two others that have had to cancel games as a result.
These Cardinals players, let's go to the casino. Like, that, you've got to be kidding me.
Could you find a dirtier, seedier, again, a more perfect environment to promote the spread of coronavirus or COVID-19.
Yes, I could.
Than a casino.
A radio studio.
Ha! No, not as many people. Well, not as true. Many people.
But it's enclosed, and you know, we're spitting on each other. And me, I'm the editorial we. Yeah, you know what I mean. But anyway, no, that's a great idea, guys. Go to the freaking casino in Minnesota, you jackasses.
Oh, yeah, and I'm sure the first time someone got blackjack, they weren't high-fiving and spitting all over each other, not to mention the people at the 10 other tables crammed next to them, because we all know the casinos jam a million people into a small space.
Meanwhile, Major League Baseball and Derek Jeter are making excuses. The Red Sox, their excuse-making comes your way right after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, how about some Red Sox excuse making? Mass read some today in the Boston Globe, and it caught his eye. Mass, what are you talking about?
So Alex Spear's baseball column today in the Globe, as you mentioned, the headline of which is, and I'm reading directly, "Is there hope for the Red Sox rotation beyond 2020?
Ha!
That's the headline, beyond 2020. I can answer that and say no. Okay? I could be a wise ass. But reading the story, and honestly, most of my gripes in this were with Chaim Bloom, not with Alex Spear, because Bloom's comments to me blew me away. So, again, you'll have to indulge me on this a little bit, so be patient. I'm just going to go through. A quote from Bloom. "A lot of the failures of last season can be traced to depth," he said. "That was something we needed to improve. We certainly set out to improve it. I think we have improved it." And then the quote goes on. My answer. How? How have you improved it? Martin Perez? That's improving it? You haven't improved it at all. Your depth still sucks. And all the other guys you picked up off of someone's lawn that they left on the curb, they all suck too. You haven't hit on anything yet, at least not really. So, you know, put your ego away. Okay. Then this is Spear writing. "Chris Sale suffered a setback in early March, raising doubts about his availability even before it became clear he'd need Tommy John. The Red Sox had cursory conversations with teams about available starters as one potential avenue for gaining reinforcements. But nothing gained traction before MLB instituted a transaction freeze when the sport shut down." Okay, number one, Sale suffered a setback? What setback? He got He got hurt last year.
Yeah, my fault. He's needed Tommy John for like 2 years.
I mean, this is a joke. There was no setback. No, what you were asking for with Sale was a miracle, and you didn't get a miracle. So let's not call Chris Sale a setback. We all knew he was headed for surgery. Here's the other thing. The Red Sox were exploring potential avenue for gaining reinforcements through trade when the COVID shut down. Shut down the major leagues and shut down everything. What deal exactly were they going to make when they have no prospects to deal and they can't take on money? So, like, this idea that, well, they were talking to teams, I don't give a rat's ass. There was no deal coming. So, like, what, we're gonna delude people into thinking there was some sort of solution coming in spring training? Oh, put a sock in it, please. There was no deal coming. They were going to stay under the luxury tax and bite the bullet this year. They thought Rodriguez and Eovaldi might be enough. Okay, and then Rodriguez went belly up on him. Okay, and I continue. Then this, again, is Spear writing, but I think a lot of this comes from Bloom or, you know, John Henry or wherever else. "While the Red Sox have started to develop some pitching inventory within their farm system, the most advanced prospects, Brian Mata and Tanner Houck, aren't yet seen as big league ready. Have started to develop some pitching inventory." According to who? Like, what pitching inventory are you talking about? I looked at the list of top 100 major league prospects. You know how many pitchers the Red Sox have on that list?
Zero.
Zip. Zero. None. They have no pitching prospects. This is the problem, at least not yet. They don't have any. Zero. Okay, then he's writing about Bloom now, Spear. And he said, and look, it sounds like I'm dumping on Alex. And, you know, I feel the same way about Alex as you do. I love Alex Spear. He's one of the nicest people on the planet. He really is. But I think that the message the team wants out there came out in this story. And I just disagree with it vehemently. So now talking about Bloom, Spear writes, his Rays had success in taking fringe performers from other organizations and reshaping their pitch mixes on specific pitch shapes in order to make them more meaningful contributors.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay?
What does that mean?
Okay, so it means like Nathan Eovaldi, for example, I would use as the Red Sox brought him in, they got him to throw his cutter more, and it worked. Okay? That's just a loose example.
Yeah.
But Spear continues, and that was, you know, had nothing to do with Bloom, but nonetheless. Spear writes, in a 60-game season, one in which the opportunities to have a coaching staff work with players are constrained by the schedule and protocols, it may be harder to help players achieve meaningful in-season development. Says Bloom, you might not have enough months in the calendar to see some of the things come to fruition.
Oh, my God.
So you're telling me it's because of the short schedule these guys suck?
So hold on. If they had a full year, Ryan Weber might not suck, or any of these other guys whose names I've already forgotten, Maz.
Correct.
They would have found the proper pitch shape with which to pitch, and by July, August, we would have been onto something. But now, because there's such a condensed schedule, Bloom and the staff can't weave their magic.
Right. So remember, Sale was a bad break. Okay? There was a transaction freeze on trades, and there isn't enough time in the schedule to actually get something out of the guys they picked up. That's what they're telling you. Okay, then, Spear writes, the Sox will stretch out Darwin's in and Hernandez and Pawtucket to see whether he has a chance to contribute in the big leagues as more than a short stint reliever. Beyond him, Brian Mata and Tanner Houck need more development before being considered for the rotation. The Sox want Houck to figure out how to get lefties consistently. At 21, Mata shows the making of a four-pitch mix, but he needs refinement. See, let me translate that for you. Darwin's in Hernandez in Pawtucket to see whether he has a chance to contribute because they're trying to stretch him out. So now they're taking him out of the bullpen, and he was in the rotation before. If he was so good, why did they put him in the bullpen in the first place? Okay, they'll take the innings out of a starter. That's number one. Number two, Tanner Houck needs work getting lefties, which means he's a reliever. He's another one who's a reliever. If he can't get out lefties, he can't start. Okay? He just can't. And Brian Mata needs refinement. You know what that's code for? Can't throw strikes. That's what it means. Can't throw strikes. Again, none of those guys are in the top 100 major league prospects. Those are the best pitching prospects in the system. The Red Sox don't have pitching. It's a major, major, major issue. And I'm talking about in the pipeline. I'm not talking about at the big leagues. Look, when Sale comes back and Eduardo Rodriguez gets healthy and Nathan Eovaldi, if he's healthy, you got a few guys, you should be able to hang in there and compete against some of the big boys. I'm not saying you're winning a championship. But long term, pork with a capital P. I'm talking pork dumplings, pork sausages. I'm talking a luau. We're talking pig roast pork.
What a sell job that was.
Holy crap, I read that. I went, come on. The 60-game schedule is why they're not able to get anything out of these guys? Really? That's what it is? I mean, come on, fellas. There are no arms there. There are no arms there. If we're relying on, you know, a Tanner Houck and Brian Mata, and I'm not telling you all those guys are going to suck. I'm just telling you that those guys are projects, basically. Houck was a first-round pick who was disappointed badly. They got a long way to go. Long, long way to go.
Okay, your thoughts at 617-779-0985 in our long commercial-free segment next. And another story I missed in the Globe on the Red Sox from yesterday. We'll get to that again right after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Doesn't know Felger and Mass.
Michael Felger, I don't know from a can of paint at all.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Ron, at the start of the year, you talked about how there would maybe be some urgency to some decisions, more so than in a longer season. I know it's only two turns through, but Brian's inability to get into the fifth either time, does that make you rethink his spot in the rotation at this point?
Well, not really. I mean, who do we have that we can say that we're going to put in that's going to be better than Ryan?
So that was Ron Renneke from the weekend. And, Maz, that still says it all. You're still shaking your head over that one.
Oh, my gosh. Like, what a line. Like, who do we have that's better than Ryan Weber? As if Ryan Weber is Pedro Martinez out there. Who do we have that's better than Pedro? Nobody. I mean, who's better than Ryan Weber?
So that was a Globe story you focused on, the Alex Spear thing, really polishing the pig that right there. This was from Pete Abe yesterday that I missed.
I missed it too.
From the weekend. But this is a staggering story. And the whole thing was about, you know, the Red Sox are one of the worst teams in the American League, and it's not hard to see why. And he goes into the pitching and how that might have, you know, and how it might have put the whole team in this funk where they've just sort of maybe given up. And he talks about Saturday night's loss in New York, okay? Saturday night, they had a 5-2 loss against the Yankees being a good example. So, again, he says you can't win with a pitching staff like this, and the players know it. And their level of play has reflected it. Saturday night's 5-2 loss against the Yanks was a good example. The Sox put two runners on base with two outs in the ninth inning against journeyman right-hander David Hale. One swing could have tied the game. With J.D. Martinez available to pinch hit, Andrew Benintendi took his turn at the plate and struck out on four pitches to end the game. Andrew Benintendi, well, that left him 2-for-24 on the season. Okay, Andrew Benintendi couldn't hit a beach ball right now. Meanwhile, J.D. Martinez was on the bench available to pinch hit. Now, again, left, right, and all of that, but I think you'd still rather have Martinez up to bat in that situation over Andrew Benintendi, and it feels that's the way the Red Sox felt. And as Pete Abe says, Martinez at that point had hit .320 against the Yankees with a 1,022 OPS since joining the Sox, but he was not available. Here was how manager Ron Renneke explained it, quote, "He had been in the cages trying to get loose. It's a little harder to get JD quickly loose."
Oh, it looks like we lost Mike again, right?
Yep, tornadoes. Okay.
So Renneke went on to say, it's a little hard to get JD loose. So they had sent the bench coach, Jerry Nairn, down a couple of innings earlier, because I don't have the exact quote in front of me. But they had sent Jerry Nairn down a couple of innings earlier to get him ready. Jimmy, just let me know when Mike is back on.
He's back on now.
I'm back. All right, go ahead.
No, so I don't know where I lost you there. Storms are coming through here, and I think it's good knocking everything offline. Anyway, he says he had been in the cages trying to get loose, talking about J.D. Martinez. It's a little harder to get J.D. quickly loose. He's used to certain routines that he goes through, and he knows different situations when they come up that there may be an opportunity. But Jerry Nairn, which is what I think you were just talking about, yep. Jerry Nairn, the bench coach, had gone down there a couple of innings before and just kind of gave him a heads up to be ready. Renneke said, "I would rather give him the day off, which we did, but if we needed it to win a ball game, we thought we may put him up there." So could he have hit? Here's Renneke's quote. "We could have. Again, both of us probably rather would have not, him and us. That's kind of what the decision came to." I don't know what the hell. I mean, I can't even translate that. Abraham writes, "You would hope a Red Sox player would be breaking down doors for a chance to beat the Yankees. But Martinez took a pass, and Renneke made it out to be a mutual decision." So let me just translate this whole thing. Martinez quit. He didn't want to bat. He didn't want to play.
Feels that way. So right? I would hope that they follow up on this. So look, now this is me making an excuse, because at the end of the day, I missed the story too. Why isn't this the story? Why isn't this at the top of the story? Why isn't there a headline on it? Why aren't people asking more questions even 3 days later? Why isn't this being talked about more? This should be talked about more.
Absolutely.
So Renneke went to the player. They went to the player and told him, be ready. And then the part of the quote that should alarm you, Mike, obviously, is both of us probably rather would have not. J.D. Martinez would rather not have hit in that situation. You'd rather have the day off for what was at the time, what, a 3-5 team going on 3-6 and then ultimately to 3-7? The season's at stake, pal. The season's at stake. And the more I find out about J.D. Martinez, and I'm sorry to cut you off.
Go.
But the more I hear about J.D. Martinez, this guy's a tool. This guy's he's selfish and he's a tool. So, like, what's the issue? He's always bitching about something. Major league players don't get marketed well enough. They don't market us. Well, you know why? Because the guys who get marketed like to hit in the eighth and ninth innings with the game on the line. No matter what the situation is, they like that spot.
Well, so what Abe is getting at is that the pitching staff is so bad that it's caused everybody else to quit. And he writes, it brings to mind the 2014 season when what appeared to be a good Red Sox team fell apart after ownership made a low ball offer to ace John Lester. The Sox played with little passion, fell out of contention quickly, and there was a fire sale at the trade deadline. That included Lester. It was the start of a long, fallow period, writes Abraham. He said, this is where this could be headed. Chief Baseball Officer Chaim Bloom has been careful to say the Sox aren't giving up on the season, but also have to be mindful of the future. But what basically happened here is that they went down to Martinez. They told him to get ready. He's got a back, right? So it takes a little bit longer for him to get ready, and so they have to go to him sooner. But they did. He says they did. Renicki says they went down there. He had been in the cages. It's a little harder to get JD quickly loose, but we had given him a couple of innings before and talked to him about it. But when Jerry had gone down there a couple of innings before and just given him the heads up to be ready, he says, I would rather give him the day off, which we did. But if we needed to win a ball game, we thought we may put him up there. And he says, again, both of us probably would rather have not, him and us. That's kind of what the decision came to. So Renicki's covering for him, but in the same breaths, you know, telling us what happened. They went down to get him ready. He could have been ready. He should have been ready. And he didn't want to go in there.
I'll tell you what, I refuse to, like, the whole analogy in comparison to 2014, I refuse to go there. I'm sorry. The whole so what? Because the pitching staff stinks, you're not going to try now? Again, we are going to learn, I said this before, we are going to learn a great deal about some of the players on the team this year because, let's face it, anybody can be productive and happy when you're winning 118 games. 119 counting the playoffs, right? It was 108 plus 11. So fine, 2018, that thing was a cakewalk. Everybody had a great time. Everybody was happy. They rolled. Fine, we loved them all. But who are you going to love now? Who's going to show up and try now? Who's going to show up no matter what and swing the bat and try to win the game, even though the pitching staff blows and they're on pace, by the way, I did the math, to go 18-42. Okay, that's the pace that they're on right now. So what's going to happen? You're going to get to Saturday night in New York in a 5-2 game, and J.D. Martinez, who could be on the free agent market, by the way, if I were the Red Sox, I'd be holding that over his head. You want to hit the market this offseason because you think you can make some money? Because there are going to be teams that want DHs now? Well, then you can't bag out in the ninth inning of a 3-run game when we ask you to pinch hit. That's disgraceful. That is not wanting to pinch hit. Is disgraceful. And you know who wouldn't hit in a big game at Yankee Stadium the last time? Nomar.
Right.
Nomar. Nomar 2.0, from what I understand with this guy.
Well, didn't Manny get sent up in a spot where he didn't want to hit? He just kept the bat on his shoulder, 3 straight pitches?
Yeah.
So we've seen this in the past.
At least he got in the box.
Well, this is what we're hearing now on this Red Sox team. They've already quit. They've already quit, including J.D. Martinez, your highest paid player, right? Is it him or Bogarts? One of them.
No, it's him. He's more than Bogarts.
Okay, so your highest paid player is already bagging on the season and already refusing. And I'm maybe refusing is a little strong, but along those lines, would rather not pinch hit in Yankee Stadium in a key game against the Yankees. Your thoughts on that? Your thoughts on Derek Jeter's comments? Your thoughts on Tom Brady hitting the practice field in Tampa? Where's Cam Newton? And where's the coverage of Cam Newton here in New England? We're getting Brady coverage shoved up our yin-yang down in Tampa. He's working out with his teammates. We're already seeing that. Where's the Patriots stuff? Your calls on whatever we've talked about today at 617-779-0985 to you right after Big Jim Murray's update. Takes 90 seconds, sir. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.